I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
KMOX at your service on a Tuesday night. George Sells back with you up until 10 o'clock. A report was released today, and the headline is something that might surprise you. You should find troubling, and hopefully is something that's going to lead to some solutions. It talks about conquering the St. Louis digital divide. It outlines the steps necessary to bridge the gap, but the scary part is just how big this divide is, talking about hundreds of thousands of people in our city and county who either don't have access to a device to get on the internet or to the Wi-Fi or broadband to hook their device up. And if you think about all the things out there that you can't do anymore without internet access, this all adds up to being a very big economic problem. Joined now by Kathy Osborne. She's president and CEO of the Regional Business Council. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX.
Happy to be here, George. Thank you.
This is one of those things. I always use the analogy back when I was working in news, and you would cover a tornado going through someplace, and you would see these poor people like watching the sun come up over what was left, and the question in your mind is, oh my God, where do they even start? And that almost seems to apply to this when you look at some of these numbers, 250 to 300,000 households in St. Louis City and County lacking access to fiber services, 150,000 households where they struggle to afford any kind of broadband. Where do you start?
Well, I think the St. Louis Community Foundation and the Regional Business Council, we came together because of a concern about this digital divide. And frankly, it's been around for a decade or more. But it's such a massive problem, George, and you really, kind of hit the nail on the head there in the sense it's such a big problem. Sometimes you don't want to look at it because you don't know how to solve it. And so what we did is we came together and we had a number of other partners involved, and we thought the first step was to analyze it, get the data, really figure out where are the problems, what's the nature of the problems, and what's the scope. So what this study is really about is defining that. So you sort of need to know exactly where the problems are and before you can really say, how do we begin to solve things? And for me personally, RBC was very involved, and we've been very involved in education since the beginning. But as COVID hit, we got real involved because we had some concerns about how many children were going to be educated at home. And what if you didn't have this technology? And it was there that I really realized that something had to be done. We cannot go on to have homes where they don't have the access to the technology. They don't have then the computer that's available. And probably a bigger part for a lot of these families is they don't have the necessarily the adults in the family who know how to access that technology themselves. And think about it, George. There's millions of children who go home at night and their homework assignment is done on a computer. Or frankly, their parents get access to how they're doing in school through the computer. If you don't have that, how are we going to have equitable education? We're not.
And that is obviously a big, big concern. My day job in the education world is this is something I see on a daily basis. And while it was kind of a double-edged sword with the pandemic from the standpoint that it really illustrated what this problem is in very stark terms that you just laid out. So many families that didn't have access, but it began to illustrate a route to solving the problem from the standpoint that large companies, community groups, and others kind of came together and threw resources at the problem. All of a sudden, Spectrum is handing out hotspots to anybody who could demonstrate a need, or they're giving out free Wi-Fi service. They come in and install the service that you're used to paying for through the cable company. You had other companies. Verizon was big in donating devices to St. Louis Public Schools, as an example. And there are many others. I don't want to leave anybody out, but that's just the one that comes to the top of my head. So does this sort of community / business, you know, come together and be charitable, basically? Is that a big part of the answer?
Yeah, I think the answer is knowing what the problem is and facing it. This is the first step. So we're going to be educating a lot of people about that, getting their input. And I think the second part, I think the scope of it is too large to say, well, let's just go get donations. I think we're going to have the federal government, state and local governments, along with the private sector, do you know what I'm saying? And the schools and the libraries and the churches and the youth centers, to really come together and figure out what needs to be done and how do we do it. Frankly, in some communities, perhaps the best alternative is to set up sites that people can walk to where the technology is available and that there's somebody there who can actually help with the access to that technology, you know, showing them how to use it, how it works in a safe environment. And so I think we just need to come together and figure out what's the role of each one of these. And you're right. I'll give you another example. AT&T did a lot of really significant things here in St. Louis. But at the end of the day, we've got to figure out, it's not only just getting it set up, but who's going to pay it monthly? Who's going to pay it a year from now? Do you know what I'm saying? And you know, with the mobility rate of a lot of people who live in some of our more fragile neighborhoods, you know, they might be in one area this month and another area 6 months from now. I will say that, in my opinion, the schools did a remarkable job. I mean, it happened in a second. Nobody knew it was coming, and when it came fast. And so many children 2 years ago, I guess it was 20, were sent home.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, you've got to have schools adapting. You've got to figure out what to do. But it was particularly a challenge in the kind of neighborhoods we're talking about. So schools like Riverview Gardens and Jennings and Ferguson Florissant and the St. Louis Public School System, those schools really had a problem on their hands because often the school is the safest place for children to be. And that's where a lot of the structure occurs. So what we know now, unfortunately, is that the test scores across our state, and I suspect across the country, have gone down dramatically, but particularly in the neighborhoods that we're now taking a look at and have the data on, where they don't have access to that technology. So it's complicated. I'm hopeful. We can't do it all at once. It's not going to happen next year. But I think once you take a hard look at it, you can't turn away. And I do think we potentially could be more competitive. Tomorrow, for instance, I'm meeting with the head of the technology department for the city of St. Louis. I know the mayor, and I'm assuming the county executive is looking at the issue. And now we've got a plan. We can tell you here's the homes where you have issues. And obviously, I've kept the corporate sector and the foundation sector up to date. So in answer to your question, it's a tough one. It's not going to happen in a second. It's going to take a lot of money. But I think it's something now we've faced and we have to do something about.
And this is the cities. It's also a lot of rural areas. There was discussion as different ideas were being thrown around when the president was working on his infrastructure package. And there was talk of an approach toward getting broadband, getting Wi-Fi to everyone nationwide. Low-income areas, rural areas, out-of-the-way places, that it would take a sweeping operation, if you will, or project, if you will, that was on par with the electrification of rural America during the Depression in the New Deal for President Roosevelt.
Well, no, you're exactly right. And we decided to focus on the city and the county. And frankly, consulting company did this for us. Why? Because they are nationally interested in the issue around digital divide, particularly around educational issues. So they had a lot of expertise, but it was a costly study to do. And we decided, well, let's focus on the city and county. Because we knew that there was a lot of children, particularly children of color, living in some of those neighborhoods. But the rural areas, there's no doubt about it. And it used to be, did you have phone service? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But RBC and a number of business groups advocates for infrastructure. And we typically think of that as being roads, bridges, air, rail, et cetera. Well, you know, this is the new infrastructure. And so I think just as the federal government and the local governments have put an effort on infrastructure in the traditional sense, we also need to look at it in terms of the technology. And that's really what this is about. And we'll be educating all of our federal delegation, others on the issue and seeing what can be done.
Well, there's a lot, obviously, to work with here, and it's something that, as you said, isn't going to happen quickly. But folks, get ready to hear from Kathy more often as we go forward on this. The Digital Divide is a project you can read much more about at www.stldigitaldivide.org. And Kathy Osborne, thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX.
Thanks so much, George. Take care.
And it's 9:17. KMOX is at your service.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
KMOX at your service on a Tuesday night. George Sells with you up until 10 o'clock this evening. And we can't get through any kind of talk radio without some discussion of the slap heard round the world. Of course, Will Smith and Chris Rock, their dust up on the Oscars has been well documented. But what I'm interested in talking about tonight isn't so much what happened between them, though there is some relevant discussion there. But I also want to talk about what got lost or what got overshadowed by what happened on that stage on Sunday night. Joining me to talk about it, Diane Carson. She is a professor of film at St. Louis Community College Merrimack. And Diane, thank you for joining us on KMOX.
I'm happy to do it. I actually am retired, but I still do film reviews for KDHX and for the Alliance of Women Film Journalists.
You're keeping busy. This is excellent.
Yeah, people keep telling me I need to look up that word, retired.
Well, tell me this. You're sitting there watching the Oscars like so many of us were on Sunday night. And this is a two-part question. What was your overall feeling of the things you wanted to talk about before that incident happened? And what was your feeling after that incident happened?
Yeah, exactly what you said in terms of how it overshadowed everything else. I mean, I was much more interested in talking about CODA, of course, which won two other awards, of course, the Best Supporting Actor as well as the Best Picture. We didn't have Best Picture yet when the slap happened. I was interested in talking about that. Even with King Richard, what really pains me is that Serena and Venus were there. And they are, I'm a real tennis fanatic. In fact, I just came back from a week at the Parabat tennis tournament watching 6 days of nonstop tennis. I mean, I really love tennis. I have seen them play there. I have seen them play each other. And their story is so amazing. I wanted them to take center stage. I wanted them to get a lot of the praise that they deserve for what they have done. They were advocating for equal pay for women in tennis way before anybody else was, especially Venus as she started, and then Serena. And, you know, they've just done so much. I really wanted it to be a moment for them. So that was part of my disappointment. But also, Ariana DeBose, that was an important moment also. That here is the first person, you know, number one, that she won for the same role that Rita Moreno won for in 1962. But also, as she said, you know, that she is the first woman of color who is also gay who won this award, and her speech was quite inspirational. She said, to anybody who has ever questioned your identity, ever, 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 or you find yourself living in the gray spaces, I promise you this. There is indeed a place for us.
And that was a very moving moment. And there was so much to the program. You know, there were obviously the Oscars folks have been having their concerns about ratings going down and that sort of thing. And a lot of talk about the pace of the show and this and that. And they did some things to speed it up a little bit, I guess. But they really, it seemed like, and I was thinking this to myself as I was watching this, they've kind of got a gold mine on their hands this year. And I didn't know if it was going to impact ratings or not, but mm-hmm. What they did at least have was a number of compelling storylines before, obviously, what became the main storyline happened. So they were already starting to move into a place where they were going to have a good leg to stand on as far as speaking to the relevance of the Oscars again, because a lot of people were debating that. And then this happened and it turned into a clown show.
Yes, exactly. And that's always the problem when something like this overshadows people. many more important topics. I honestly wish they had done a little bit more. The Oscars had done a little bit more on Ukraine. But, you know, that was something that there were a couple of moments, but not a whole lot. I was sorry we didn't get those 8 early awards that just got sandwiched in very quickly, but at least those people got recognition. As you say, there were so many things that were important. Jessica Chastain's speech was quite moving. There were so many things that needed to have some attention and just got overshadowed. That's the sadness of it all.
And the other thing I think is interesting now, and tell me if you agree with this. I was part of one of the many water cooler conversations, you know, yesterday morning and today about this. And what has kind of leapt into my head, and this is the old journalist in me talking, is that Will Smith, in a 5-second incident and a snap decision, to some degree rewrote his obituary. Because the first line of his obituary was going to be, rapper, television star, huge box office smash, 3rd African-American to win Best Actor in the history of the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
But now it's going to be those things and the man who notoriously slapped Chris Rock across the face for cracking a joke about his wife at the Oscars.
Yeah.
He rewrote his obituary and really overshadowed his own accomplishments in doing it.
You're absolutely right. Everything else is now going to be a sidebar as opposed to the main headline. And I have to say that many other people behaved extremely well, and I'd like them to get a little attention. Chris Rock could have reacted much more angrily than he did, and I thought he held it together quite well. And we didn't see it, but evidently in between when that happened and, of course, things went. I didn't know when it happened if it was real or not. I don't know if many other people thought that. I thought, is this supposed to be kind of funny? Was this staged? And, of course, then the screen went to a freeze frame, and I thought, no, this was not planned. It wouldn't have been funny anyway, but, you know, this was not planned. But evidently, between that and when they came back, Denzel Washington took him over to the side to the side of the stage and really talked with him. And you know, all credit to Denzel. And in fact, when Will Smith then did give his Best Actor speech, he acknowledged that. He even said what Denzel had said to him about, you know, at your highest moment, the devils will come and get you. So there were some other people who I'd like to see get some positive credit for how they handled this.
So at the end, the question becomes, are the Oscars or the Academy Awards better off today than they were last week as you go into next year? There's always it seems like there's an annual discussion of the relevance of the program. The cynics will say any press is good press, and we're still talking about it 2 days later. But you have to wonder, was this a positive? Was this a negative? Or are we just kind of in the same place with the Academy Awards?
For me, it's a negative. I mean, it's so unfortunate to see something like that happen. And you used exactly the right word in terms of how it overshadows everything. And it will be kind of the ghost in the theater next year. And, of course, everybody will probably be reminded that they better be on their best behavior. Supposedly, there was some talk backstage about taking Will Smith out of the auditorium.
So the ghost will be in the theater next year, but Will Smith. We'll have to find out.
That, yeah.
Diane Carson, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk with us tonight here on KMOX.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you very much. And let's all go to the movies.
It's 9:30 and KMOX is at your service. And it's Tuesday night, KMOX at your service. I'm George Sells with you up until 10 o'clock. Funny story, I was sitting in a place having lunch a couple of weeks ago, one of the old spots in South City, and it's 1 in the afternoon. And I look over toward the bar, and I notice that there is not an empty seat at the bar. There are 2 sets that have different horse races on. Another 2 sets that had college basketball. I think some of the tournaments were going on for the different conferences at that point. And I'm looking over there, and I'm thinking to myself, somewhere sitting at that bar is a bookie. Because that's the way it's always been. You remember going back to my days as a kid, even being with my parents, and you could tell where the guys gathered around the TV betting on games were. That is changing in this country, and it may be on the verge of changing in Missouri. The bookies may be in trouble. We're joined right now by Senator John Rizzo from the Kansas City area, one of the sponsors of a bill that would legalize sports betting in the state of Missouri. Senator Rizzo, welcome to KMOX.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And tell me my little story there. We're not going to see much of that anymore if this goes through. And call me crazy, but I don't think I've seen this much bipartisan support on much of anything.
Yeah, no, look, hey, we've been very successful in sports, luckily, in the state of Missouri the last probably 10 years. The Cardinals have won a World Series. The Royals have won a World Series. The Chiefs have gone to multiple Super Bowls and won one. And for the life of me, I can't figure out, and I think people in the state of Missouri can't figure out why I can go to a casino and lose $1,000 playing blackjack, but can't bet $50 on whether or not Albert Pujols is going to be able to hit 700 home runs this year. And so, you know, I think the common sense is starting to prevail down here in regards of it doesn't make a lot of sense that you can gamble on some things, but not on sports. And hopefully this year we can get the trains moving in the right direction and we can get it done.
How much does it hurt also when in a market like St. Louis? I mean, if you flip on a sports radio station, you are inundated with ads for the different casino sports books that are right across the river in Illinois. And I believe the number I saw was, you know, potential for $100 million in tax revenue out of this should this bill pass in Missouri in its first year.
Yeah, look, I mean, I see the ads myself when I'm watching football on Sundays or when I was, and you know, when I watch baseball during the week. I mean, you know, you have DraftKings and you have Caesars and MGM and all these people are running ads nationally. And obviously, as Missourians, we can't participate because the Republican legislature hasn't allowed us to pass anything just yet. But I'm hopeful that we can all get on the same page this year and maybe do something. But it is definitely a game that we have to keep up in. Illinois has already done it, and we're obviously landlocked and surrounded by other states that are either doing it or looking at doing it, and we don't want to get left behind.
What has changed? Because I can remember, my background is as a reporter, and I can remember back in the early 90s covering the first riverboat casinos opening in Louisiana. And back then, they were mortified even to go that far, and you had Republicans saying that God was against it, and you had Democrats saying that all these gamblers were going to go crazy and end up in asylums and killing themselves, and everybody seemed to have a reason to say that gambling was bad. And now here we are 30 years later, and it's sailing through the Missouri legislature. What do you think changed in people's attitudes over that period of time? Because to be honest about it, the potential pitfalls haven't really changed.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you say that, because last night we got done with session kind of late, and I drove down Missouri Boulevard, which is kind of the main thoroughfare here in Jefferson City. And I've been in and out of Jefferson City since I was a kid for one reason or another, and I was with a friend of mine, and I looked at him, and I said, who would have ever thought on Missouri Boulevard, the main thoroughfare in Jefferson City, there would be a place where you can go buy legal marijuana? And I think that people's perspectives and ideas on the things that have been taboo for a very long time, people are starting to realize that some of that may have been overplayed, and that there may be remedies to a lot of these different things that have been controversial for a very long time. And, you know, when it comes to sports betting or gambling in general, obviously we haven't seen the gloom and doom that was prescribed in the 90s to sports, to riverboat gambling. And I think we're seeing other states, when they're legalizing sports gaming, not see all of the bad things that are being ascribed to people come to fruition. It literally is just somebody betting $50 or $100 for the most part on a game. And the idea that there's going to be these massive amounts of people that are going to lose their homes or their livelihood, of course we have to make sure that we have a contingency plan to help people that can't control themselves. But at the same time, the overwhelming majority want this as an option.
Let's talk about the bill and where it is. It comes out of the House, and one thing that I noticed, and just some cursory reading about it is the fact that the taxes on the casinos are much lower for sports betting than they are for their regular gambling handles, down like at 8%, which is less than half, I believe, of what those numbers were for regular gambling. Do you think it should stay like that, or should the state be kind of cutting into that profit revenue from the casinos a little bit more?
I think that obviously that, you know, in the state of Missouri, gaming and gambling money always goes to education. So I would like to see it maybe stay around that area, but it's going to be decided throughout the process. To say that it's going to stay at 8 is probably a misnomer. It may go to 10. It may move around, but that's just going to be on what the body decides. But I definitely believe that that if we are going to have something like that, we should use it to for education and what we have done. We shouldn't sell short our schools and teachers that are already having a tough time making ends meet. So if we are going to do this, it should fall similarly in line to what the casinos are already doing. But we could live with anything. Anything is a plus at this point, right? We're getting a lot of zeros because we haven't done it at this point. So even if it is 8 or 10, it's 8 or 10% of something that we weren't getting nothing of before.
Did we take too long on this? After all, the Supreme Court essentially legalized sports betting back in 2018, and it's just now 4 years later that we're talking about legislation that looks like it's got a shot at passing. Were we too slow?
Obviously, I think that the people, and myself included, would have liked to move a lot faster. But this is one of those things where you're creating a new industry. So you're trying to set the guardrails that will last for decades and for a long time. So would I have liked to have moved faster? Absolutely. I think the people of the state of Missouri would have liked to move faster. But I would also rather get it right than move quickly. So if it takes us a little bit longer to get it right and have the guardrails and a model that will last for decades, I understand that. But I think we're brushing up against our patience with the state of Missouri, with the people of the state of Missouri, and we should get it done.
On the get it right front, you've had roughly 30 other states to look at. What have you learned? Is there one thing that jumps out at you like, yeah, we're not going to make that mistake, or yeah, we're going to do that differently and it'll be better?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that is different from when I was, a younger man betting on things is this stuff is all done on an app. You know, it's done on the phone now. And so we're going to have to figure out exactly what that looks like because, you know, I think of the traditional in Las Vegas, sitting at a sports book, watching games all together. And what I've noticed in these other states is a lot of times it's maybe you go and deposit money at the sports book at a casino or wherever it may be, and then you bet on your phone from wherever it is you want to bet from, within obviously the jurisdiction of the state. So, you know, that's one thing that I'm interested on trying to figure out what fits best for us as a state is, is it the in-person where you kind of have this kind of old-school Las Vegas model where you go to the casinos, you stay at the casinos, you have kind of a day there, you watch March Madness from dusk till dawn like I did a few weekends ago, and you bet on games? Or is it a model of do you go and you give the cashier $200 or $100 and then it loads onto an app, you can go home and then bet on the games from your comfort of your home, and then if you want to collect, you go back in. So I'll be really interested to see how we can figure out how the new technology in gaming and gambling and sports betting comes into effect with this.
Are you worried this is going to change how we watch sports? From the standpoint of you're no longer sitting there rooting for, in your case, the Royals, in my case, the Cardinals, but maybe you're rooting for them to win, but wait, don't win by too much, or I need that guy to hit a home run, or in a football game, no, you can't get to the over, stop, quick, tackle Mahomes.
No, I mean, look, if anything, it's going to make that Jacksonville Jaguars game more interesting, right? I would argue. If anything, it's going to take the games that were meaningless before that nobody ever watched, and if it's the only one on, I could see it getting more ratings. So I think, if anything, it's going to increase more viewers into sports. But I don't worry about it having an effect on sport because, you know, as well as I do, there's probably a lot of people out there that are already betting illegally or on what I would consider a gray market website that they can kind of finagle their way around to do it. So I don't think it's going to have an adverse effect to sport. And I think that if it does, that the billionaires that run the leagues will make adjustments pretty quickly.
I was going to say very quickly, do you think we're going to see sports books in Busch Stadium and Kauffman Stadium before this is all said and done?
Look, I think especially in the NFL, I think that they have an absolute reason.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
And it's Tuesday night, Camo X at your service. I'm George Sells with you up until 10 o'clock. Funny story, I was sitting in a place having lunch a couple of weeks ago. One of the old spots in South City, and it's 1 p.m. And I look over toward the bar, and I notice that there is not an empty seat at the bar. There are two sets that have different horse races on, another two sets that had college basketball. I think some of the tournaments were going on for the different conferences at that point. And I'm looking over there, and I'm thinking to myself, somewhere sitting at that bar is a bookie, because that's the way it's always been. You remember going back to... I remember my days as a kid, even being with my parents, and you could tell where the guys gathered around the TV betting on games were. That is changing in this country, and it may be on the verge of changing in Missouri. The bookies may be in trouble. We're joined right now by Senator John Rizzo from the Kansas City area, one of the sponsors of a bill that would legalize sports betting in the state of Missouri. Senator Rizzo, welcome to KMOX.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And tell me... my little story there, we're not going to see much of that anymore if this goes through. And call me crazy, but I don't think I've seen this much bipartisan support on much of anything.
Yeah, no, look, hey, we've been very successful in sports, luckily, in the state of Missouri the last probably 10 years. The Cardinals have won a World Series. The Royals have won a World Series. The Chiefs have gone to multiple Super Bowls and won one. And for the life of me, I can't figure out, and I think people in the state of Missouri can't figure out why I can go to a casino and lose $1,000 playing blackjack, but can't bet $50 on whether or not Albert Pujols is going to be able to hit 700 home runs this year. And so, you know, I think the common sense is starting to prevail down here in regards of it doesn't make a lot of sense that you can gamble on some things but not on sports. And hopefully this year we can get the trains moving in the right direction and we can get it done.
How much does it hurt also when in a market like St. Louis, I mean, if you flip on a sports radio station, you are inundated with ads for the different casino sports books that are right across the river in Illinois. And I believe the number I saw was, you know, potential for $100 million in tax revenue out of this should this bill pass in Missouri in its first year.
Yeah, look, I mean, I see the ads myself when I'm watching football on Sundays or when I was, and you know, when I watch baseball during the week. I mean, you know, you have DraftKings and you have Caesars and MGM and all these people are running ads nationally. And obviously, as Missourians, we can't participate because the Republican legislature hasn't allowed us to pass anything just yet. But I'm hopeful that we can all get on the same page this year and maybe do something. But it is definitely a game that we have to keep up in. Illinois has already done it, and we're obviously landlocked and surrounded by other states that are either doing it or looking at doing it, and we don't want to get left behind.
What has changed? Because I can remember, my background is as a reporter, and I can remember back in the early 90s covering the first riverboat casinos opening in Louisiana. And back then, they were mortified even to go that far, and you had Republicans saying that God was against it, and you had Democrats saying that all these gamblers were going to go crazy and end up in asylums and killing themselves, and everybody seemed to have a reason to say that gambling was bad. And now here we are 30 years later, and it's sailing through the Missouri legislature. What do you think changed in people's attitudes over that period of time? Because to be honest about it, the potential pitfalls haven't really changed.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you say that, because last night we got done with session kind of late, and I drove down Missouri Boulevard, which is kind of the main thoroughfare here in Jefferson City, and I've been in and out of Jefferson City since I was a kid for one reason or another, and I was with a friend of mine, and I looked at him, and I said, who would have ever thought on Missouri Boulevard, the main thoroughfare in Jefferson City, there would be a place where you can go buy legal marijuana? And I think that people's perspectives and ideas on the things that have been taboo for a very long time, people are starting to realize that some of that may have been overplayed, and that there may be remedies to a lot of these different things that have been controversial for a very long time. And, you know, when it comes to sports betting or gambling in general, obviously we haven't seen the gloom and doom that was prescribed in the 90s to sports to riverboat gambling. And I think we're seeing other states, when they're legalizing sports gaming, not see all of the bad things that are being ascribed to people come to fruition. It literally is just somebody betting $50 or $100 for the most part on a game. And the idea that there's going to be these massive amounts of people that are going to lose their homes or their livelihood, of course we have to make sure that we have a contingency plan to help people that can't control themselves. But at the same time, the overwhelming majority want this as an option.
Let's talk about the bill and where it is. It comes out of the House, and one thing that I noticed in just some cursory reading about it is the fact that the taxes on the casinos are much lower for sports betting than they are for their regular gambling handles, down like at 8%, which is less than half, I believe, of what those numbers were for regular gambling. Do you think it should stay like that, or should the state be kind of cutting into that profit revenue from the casinos a little bit more?
You know, I think that obviously that, you know, in the state of Missouri, gaming and gambling money always goes to education. So I would like to see it maybe stay around that area, but it's going to be decided throughout the process. To say that it's going to stay at 8 is probably a misnomer. It may go to 10. It may move around, but that's just going to be on what the body decides. But I definitely believe that if we are going to have something like that, we should use it to for education and what we have done. We shouldn't sell short our schools and teachers that are already having a tough time making ends meet. So if we are going to do this, it should fall similarly in line to what the casinos are already doing. But we can live with anything. Anything is a plus at this point, right? We're getting a lot of zeros because we haven't done it at this point. So even if it is 8 or 10, it's 8 or 10% of something that we weren't getting nothing of before.
Did we take too long on this? After all, the Supreme Court essentially legalized sports betting back in 2018, and it's just now 4 years later that we're talking about legislation that looks like it's got a shot at passing. Were we too slow?
Obviously, I think that the people, and myself included, would have liked to move a lot faster. But this is one of those things where you're creating a new industry. So you're trying to set the guardrails that will last for decades and for a long time. So would I have liked to move faster? Absolutely. I think the people of the state of Missouri would have liked to move faster. But I would also rather get it right than move quickly. So if it takes us a little bit longer to get it right and have the guardrails and a model that will last for decades, I understand that. But I think we're brushing up against our patience with the state of Missouri, with the people of the state of Missouri, and we should get it done.
On the get it right front, you've had roughly 30 other states to look at. What have you learned? Is there one thing that jumps out at you like, yeah, we're not going to make that mistake, or yeah, we're going to do that differently and it'll be better?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that is different from when I was, a younger man betting on things is this stuff is all done on an app. You know, it's done on the phone now. And so we're going to have to figure out exactly what that looks like because, you know, I think of the traditional in Las Vegas, sitting at a sports book, watching games all together. And what I've noticed in these other states is a lot of times it's maybe you go and deposit money at the sports book at a casino or wherever it may be, and then you bet on your phone from wherever it is you want to bet from within obviously the jurisdiction of the state. So, you know, that's one thing that I'm interested on trying to figure out what fits best for us as a state is, is it the in-person where you kind of have this kind of old-school Las Vegas model where you go to the casinos, you stay at the casinos, you have kind of a day there, you watch March Madness from dusk till dawn like I did a few weekends ago, and you bet on games? Or is it a model of do you go and you give the cashier $200 or $100 and then it loads onto an app, you can go home and then bet on the games from your comfort of your home, and then if you want to collect, you go back in. So I'll be really interested to see how we can figure out how the new technology in gaming and gambling and sports betting comes into effect with this.
Are you worried this is going to change how we watch sports? From the standpoint of you're no longer sitting there rooting for, in your case, the Royals, in my case, the Cardinals, but maybe you're rooting for them to win, but wait, don't win by too much, or I need that guy to hit a home run, or in a football game, no, you can't get to the over, stop, quick, tackle Mahomes.
No, I mean, look, if anything, it's going to make that Jacksonville Jaguars game more interesting, right? I would argue. If anything, it's going to take the games that were meaningless before that nobody ever watched, and if it's the only one on, I could see it getting more ratings. So I think, if anything, it's going to increase more viewers into sports. But I don't worry about it having an effect on sport because, you know, as well as I do, there's probably a lot of people out there that are already betting illegally or on the what I would consider a gray market website that they can kind of finagle their way around to do it. So I don't think it's going to have an adverse effect to sport. And I think that if it does, that the billionaires that run the leagues will make adjustments pretty quickly.
I was going to say very quickly, do you think we're going to see sports books in Busch Stadium and Kauffman Stadium before this is all said and done?
Look, I think especially in the NFL, I think that they have an absolute reason to want to have one in there because they are competing against the at-home viewer. I have lots of friends, and you know, I'm one of them from time to time. I would rather sit in the comfort of my own home and watch a game. And if it means that I have more options to watch the game from the comfort of my home when I'm betting, you're going to get a lot of people that are going to stay at home and watch a game instead of go to a stadium and watch one game, right? They're going to watch multiple games from their TV in their house versus going to Busch Stadium and maybe watching one game. So the only way to, I would argue, to offset that is to have a sports book or some sort of area in the stadiums that actually has multiple games on to make sure that the people that still want to go to Busch Stadium can enjoy the Cardinals playing the Giants, but also be able to go out and check on making sure that the Cubs are losing because they bet against them and they probably want the Cubs to lose anyways.
A very good analogy, and we'll close with that. Johnny Knuckles sitting at the end of the bar in South City. Your days may be numbered as a bookie because it sounds like this train is coming down to the tracks. Senator John Rizzo from Kansas City, thank you so much for taking some time with us this evening.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. This was fun.
Coming up on 947 KMOX, at your service. On a Tuesday night, I'm George Sells with you. KMOX at your service, coming down the stretch toward 10 o'clock. A couple of headlines caught my eye today. Things to talk about. First of all, when you say Ledoux and Starbucks, you don't tend to think unions. But that is exactly what we may be looking at. The workers at the Starbucks in Ledoux have, on Lindbergh, have filed to unionize. And this is something that is going on around the country at various Starbucks locations, apparently. A few hundred of them have been organized by a group that started this whole thing in Buffalo. Yes, they started unionizing the Buffalo Starbucks, and it's caught on. So they are working toward this end now from the at the Starbucks in Ledoux. Three in Kansas City have done this, so it's happening around the Midwest as well. And they're saying they think there's more to come. And what's interesting about it to me is just what we might see as far as a pendulum swing. It looked like unions had kind of breathed their last gasp. Certainly didn't seem like they have had a whole lot of power in recent years. I think what a lot of people interpreted as the death knell came during the Great Recession, when everybody was happy to just hold on to a job, and they gave up everything. But now we sit in an environment where unemployment is very low and job openings are going through the roof. Good workers are hard to find. They're harder to keep. And we may be in a situation where, with workers having that kind of leverage in many industries, that we start seeing organized labor stepping in and playing a bigger role once again. They've got the leverage now all of a sudden. It went from corporate America holding all the cards to them going back to suddenly needing some people. So it's going to be interesting to watch and see if little things like a Starbucks on South Lindbergh organizing into a union, if it turns into something that is indicative of a bigger picture. And finally, I'll tell you, it's 9:54, 9:53, now 9:54. And if you're getting ready to watch the news at 10 o'clock, I'll give you a quick hint as to what you're going to see. 12-year-old and a 10-year-old playing with a gun in North St. Louis. The 10-year-old was holding it. The 10-year-old fired it. The 12-year-old is dead. And this comes just on the heels of another shooting involving a couple of young kids earlier, about a week ago, that also had fatal results. And it just, what are we doing here, folks? We cannot allow this to normalize. I think too many people have seen all this happen too many times, and it's on the news every other night. It feels like you lose track of what happened when. This cannot be allowed to become normal. And I'm looking at my social media feed. You know, Lieutenant Colonel Troy Doyle, who you've probably heard of, I hate reading these stories. If you may be in need of a gun lock, please let me know. That's the one thing. Folks who have guns need to do a better job of taking care of them, because a 10-year-old and 12-year-old shouldn't have access to one. That's solvable. You can get a free gun lock anywhere. And if you're going to have a gun and you don't have a gun lock, go get one. Won't cost you a thing. people will jump, will fall all over themselves to give you one. The crime aspect, of course, is another major issue that we don't have time to get into, but folks, we can't let this become normal. And it's feeling a little too much like it is. I'm George Sells. This has been KMOX at your service. Nine 9:51 on a Tuesday night. I'm George Sells with you. KMOX at your service, coming down the stretch toward 10 o'clock. A couple of headlines caught my eye today. Things to talk about. First of all, when you say Ledoux and Starbucks, you don't tend to think unions. But that is exactly what we may be looking at. The workers at the Starbucks in Ledoux have, on Lindbergh, have filed to unionize. And this is something that is going on around the country at various Starbucks locations, apparently. A few hundred of them have been organized by a group that started this whole thing in Buffalo. Yes, they started unionizing the Buffalo Starbucks, and it's caught on. So they are working toward this end now from the at the Starbucks in Ledoux. Three in Kansas City have done this, so it's happening around the Midwest as well. And they're saying they think there's more to come. And what's interesting about it to me is just what we might see as far as a pendulum swing. It looked like unions had kind of breathed their last gasp. Certainly didn't seem like they have had a whole lot of power in recent years. I think the what a lot of people interpreted as the death knell came during the Great Recession, when everybody was happy to just hold on to a job, and they gave up everything. But now we sit in an environment where unemployment is very low and job openings are going through the roof. Good workers are hard to find. They're harder to keep. And we may be in a situation where, with workers having that kind of leverage in many industries, that we start seeing organized labor stepping in and playing a bigger role once again. They've got the leverage now all of a sudden. It went from corporate America holding all the cards to them going back to suddenly needing some people. So it's going to be interesting to watch and see if little things like a Starbucks on South Lindbergh organizing into a union, if it turns into something that is indicative of a bigger picture. And finally, I'll tell you, if you're, it's 9:54, 9:53, now 9:54. And if you're getting ready to watch the news at 10 o'clock, I'll give you a quick hint as to what you're going to see. 12-year-old and a 10-year-old playing with a gun in North St. Louis. The 10-year-old was holding it. The 10-year-old fired it. The 12-year-old is dead. And this comes just on the heels of another shooting involving a couple of young kids earlier, about a week ago, that also had fatal results. And it just, what are we doing here, folks? We cannot allow this to normalize. I think too many people have seen all this happen too many times, and it's on the news every other night. It feels like you lose track of what happened when. This cannot be allowed to become normal. And I'm looking at my social media feed. You know, Lieutenant Colonel Troy Doyle, who you've probably heard of, I hate reading these stories. If you may be in need of a gun lock, please let me know. That's the one thing. Folks who have guns need to do a better job of taking care of them, because a 10-year-old and 12-year-old shouldn't have access to one. That's solvable. You can get a free gun lock anywhere. And if you're going to have a gun and you don't have a gun lock, go get one. Won't cost you a thing. People will fall all over themselves to give you one. The crime aspect, of course, is another major issue that we don't have time to get into, but folks, we can't let this become normal, and it's feeling a little too much like it is. I'm George Sells. This has been KMOX at your service.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want.
You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.